This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Friday. The city of Aspen announced a new program this week to incentivize sustainability upgrades in homes and businesses. Aspen Daily News reporter Lucy Peterson has more on the city's attempt to support sustainability while federal incentives slow down.
The city's Environmental Health and Sustainability Department will offer a slew of grants, rebates, and incentives over the next 6 months. Some are available right now. Applications are open for a pilot youth climate ambassador program, which will award up to $1,500 in grants to people under 24 years old to implement a climate project in their communities. The city is also offering free countertop compost containers to help Aspen residents in multifamily complexes who will be required to compost beginning January 15th. Other grants and rebates will become available in the next several months. In the spring, rebates for irrigation upgrades and turf replacement to reduce outdoor water use will be available for residential and commercial Aspen Water customers. And beginning May 4th, Aspen-Pitkin County Housing Authority renters and owners in Categories 1 and 2 can apply for a free air purifier. Lucy Peterson, Aspen Public Radio News.
People gathered in downtown Carbondale last night for a vigil honoring Renee Nicole Macklin Good. She was killed on Wednesday by a federal immigration agent in Minneapolis. Good was a poet, writer, wife, and mother to three children. Jessica Smotherman is with the nonprofit Mountain Action Indivisible. They organized the vigil. She says many people in the Roaring Fork Valley were shaken by the killing.
They're feeling powerless, and it's really important for us to make space for people to understand that when we organize, we can win. You know, we can actually get things done. We just need people to remember that they're not alone.
According to the criminal justice outlet, The Marshall Project, federal immigration officers have fatally shot at least three other people in the last 5 months. Smotherman says she hopes the vigil will compel people to call their elected officials and demand an end to the violence. This week's U.S. Grand Prix is the final chance for skiers to secure a spot in the Winter Olympics in Italy next month. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports which Roaring Fork Valley locals made it through to this weekend's finals.
Freeski World Cup 2026, men's freeski halfpipe.
It was a snowy morning at Buttermilk Mountain yesterday as flurries fell on halfpipe skiers. 21-year-old Aspenite Tristan Feinberg says it was a tough start to the day, but it's also been a tough winter season.
At every single one of our competitions this year, we've dealt with some kind of a weather condition, and it's a winter sport. For me, like, I want it to be an entertaining sport for the spectator, and it definitely takes an element out of it when you have slow conditions and snow flurries and everything, but things worked out for me.
Feinberg placed third to make it to the freeski halfpipe finals, which he calls just another day on skis.
I've been really hungry to showcase my skiing on the highest level and just really excited to ski on Saturday in something that looks like the weather's going to hold out for us.
Locals Hannah Fallhaber, Nick Geiser, and Alex Ferreira also made it through to finals, which will take place tomorrow at 1 p.m. at Buttermilk Mountain.
Let's hear it for Tristan Feinberg. Let's hear it for Taz one more time. Come on now, Aspen.
For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Regan Mertz.
In statewide news, federal immigration agents arrested a Durango resident on New Year's Eve and a Mancos resident on January 2nd. Protests erupted at the Icefield office in Durango after the second arrest. Clark Adamitis has more.
Pedro Gutierrez is 43 years old and has lived in Durango for more than 22 years. On New Year's Eve, he was pulled over during the day by federal agents near Needham Elementary School. They called him by name and took him into custody on suspicion of being in the country without legal status. He is now being held at a detention facility in Aurora. Gutierrez's 16-year-old daughter, who was in the car during the stop, was left to drive herself home. Gutierrez was not the only person detained by ICE in the Durango area last week. On January 2nd, Adelaide Lopez, a Mancos resident, was detained on Highway 160. This arrest led to a protest outside the ICE field office in Durango. Protesters tried to block federal agents from leaving the field office with Lopez. The officers used pepper spray to move the protesters. In October, ICE agents used pepper spray and rubber bullets on protesters at the same field office after Fernando Jaramillo Solano and his two children were detained by federal agents. After being held and transported to Texas, the family requested to be voluntarily deported back to Colombia. For KSUT News, I'm Clark Adamitis.
The House upheld President Trump's veto of a Colorado water pipeline bill, despite a bipartisan push to override it. Caitlin Kim reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
Republicans Lauren Boebert and Jeff Hurd and Democrat Joe Neguse wrote colleagues, talked one-on-one with them, and took to the House floor to urge them to override Trump's veto of the Finish the Arkansas Valley Conduit Act. The effort fell short, especially on the Republican side, where only 35 Republicans voted to override. That left the chamber well short of the two-thirds necessary. Boebert was surprised and disappointed.
I mean, this had nothing to do with policy and a disagreement. Folks are afraid of getting a mean tweet or attacked.
Boebert and the others say they'll work to get the legislation, which extends the repayment period for users of the AVC, passed another way. In Washington, D.C., I'm Caitlin Kim, CPR News.
Denver's housing market is in a holding pattern, as economic uncertainty and a lack of affordable options keep buyers on the sidelines. CPR Sarah Mulholland reports.
There were roughly 7,600 homes for sale at the end of December, a 10% jump from the same time the prior year, according to the Denver Metro Association of Realtors. Some sellers gave up and pulled their homes off the market as buyers become more discerning. The median price for a home in Denver is about $575,000, a slight decline from a year ago. The slowdown in sales is giving buyers the upper hand in negotiations. I'm Sarah Mulholland, CPR News.
A new nonprofit, nonpartisan public health group made up of governors, including Colorado's, is ramping up its work after launching this fall. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly.
The Governor's Public Health Alliance, formed this year to coordinate across state borders to protect health and safety, it came as the Trump administration made sweeping policy changes, including to vaccine guidance. Angela Botticella, its managing director, says 15 governors, so far all from blue states, are members.
Of those 15 governors, that represents 34% of the population, or about 115 million people in the United States. Governors are on the front lines of managing public health.
She says it would welcome any governor from any state interested in working on public health. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
And in regional news, Congress is largely rejecting President Trump's proposal to dramatically slash Natural Resource Agency budgets. That's according to bipartisan plans released this week that seek to uphold funding for national parks and forests. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports.
The budgets for the Department of Energy, the Interior Department, and the Environmental Protection Agency, among others, include small trims, but not the big cuts the Trump administration outlined more than 6 months ago. The president's request for the National Park Service, for example, would have cut funding by $1 billion. But Congress is opting to keep funding flat. John Garter with the National Parks Conservation Association says bipartisan leaders are making a clear statement
that our national parks should be supported in terms of funding and in terms of staffing.
Garter says the package also requires public lands agencies to maintain the staffing levels needed to fulfill their missions. Lawmakers want to get the package over the finish line by the end of this month to avoid another government shutdown. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.